Today, we are going to dive into something so basic, yet so exciting. And that is water. Ding, 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 ding. Oh my gosh. Oh, water. What could be interesting about that? Well, let me tell you, it's actually a fascinating molecule. Today, we're going to get into the science on what makes water so incredibly unique and therefore essential to life as we know it on Earth, as well as some of the different types of water, the most popular types that people have for drinking in their homes. And we're going to get into the science on why not all water is created equal. So let's get into it. Upgrade Effect, an insightful podcast where we share valuable information to help you level up your wellness game and start upgrading your life. I'm your host, Samantha. And as noted, today we are going to be getting into the topic of water. Water is something that is very much talked about today in the health community. It is a huge topic of interest as we need it to survive. We need to drink certain amounts of it every day in order for our organs to function properly and to eliminate toxins and waste out of our body as effectively as possible. But today, I promise by the end of this episode, you will understand why not all water is created equal, and it really, really does matter the type of water that you put into your body. Okay, so let's first get into the unique properties of water. So let's just give a very quick chemistry lesson, okay? So chemistry is about the basic building blocks of life when you're talking about biochemistry, so biology meshed with chemistry. So all matter is made up of particles. The most simple form of any substance is an atom. Atoms are the building blocks of life. So an atom means one individual single substance. Okay, so one atom of hydrogen, H1. Most hydrogen in the universe is found in H2, which would be considered a molecule. So let's just first compare and contrast a molecule to an atom. So an atom, you cannot get any more simple than that. It's one unit of a substance. Most elements that we know in our day-to-day are composed of molecules, so different atoms mingling with different things, like sodium and chloride to make salt, or water, which is a molecule, which is what we're going to talk about today, which is H2O. It's two atoms of hydrogen and one atom of oxygen. Okay, so water is a molecule and not an atom, made up of three different atoms. So it doesn't matter if the atoms are the same or the atoms are different, like oxygen and hydrogen. If it's two or more, it's a molecule. So I hope that makes sense. Okay, so all atoms have within them a center, and in that nucleus of that atom, you have protons and you have neutrons. Okay, protons, think P, have a positive charge. Neutrons are neutral. And depending on how many electrons are on the outside of atoms, so these electrons are bouncing all over the place. They're not circling in a perfect circle around the middle of the atom. They're actually bouncing all over the place, which means that they could link on to other elements in the universe, sometimes easy, sometimes not. But how easy it is for certain atoms to link with other atoms and form a molecule depends on how many electrons are in the outermost shell. Hydrogen and oxygen act like besties when they see each other, and they really utilize each other's electrons very, very well. I know this sounds very crazy, but every single element in the universe is comprised of protons and neutrons and electrons. And if there's more electrons, that would make it have a more negative charge since electrons are negative. And if there's more protons than electrons, then there would be a positive charge to that element because there's more positive protons in the nucleus. Water is very unique. Water is a polar molecule. So water actually has a positive charge and a negative charge. So water is unique because it is positive and negative. It has a negative charge on the side of the oxygen, and it has a positive charge on the side where the hydrogen is. So this polar opposite force is pulling atoms this way and this way. And this actually is the reason why water has the cohesion between atoms. So an H2O molecule is going to very easily bond with another H2O molecule because the negative side on one H2 molecule will attract to the positive side on another one. And then it just continues and continues and continues. And this is why you have huge bodies of water, because of the way that the water is structured in its molecular fashion. is why water is so unique. Water is one of the very few substances on the planet that is less dense as a solid than it is a liquid. Okay, I'll say that again. Water is less dense when it turns into a solid form, aka ice, than it is when it is a liquid. So this is crucial for maintaining all aquatic systems in life. So when the top of the lake freezes, if it were to freeze any other way than water does, the entire ocean would be frozen rather than just the top. So when water starts to freeze and take its solid form, it turns into, it goes from the shape of almost like an A shape, the molecule H2O is like an A shape, like the letter A, and it starts to take a hexagonal shape, which means instead of getting more clumped together like this and becoming more dense, it starts to actually spread apart more. And this is exactly why the top of a lake will only be frozen for so many meters before you dig deep enough and you'll hit water. So this top layer of ice actually acts as an insulator, which conserves heat for the aquatic life inside of the ocean. Okay, so this is very interesting because if it were any other way, life on Earth would not exist as we know it, because as most of you probably are aware, we would not be able to survive without the ocean and aquatic life. So water is incredibly unique. It is also known as the universal solvent. So if you guys remember grade 7 science class, you learn a solute is the substance that goes into essentially water, which is what dissolves most things. Think of like juice crystals. You're making orange juice. The juice crystals go in the water, which is the solvent. The crystals are the solute, and you mix it together, and water is incredibly good at dissolving things completely. It is known as the universal solvent. Water can dissolve more substances than any other liquid, and this property actually allows it to carry essential nutrients to our cells while also helping flush out toxins from the body. So water is able to kind of attach to these two negative things in our body that shouldn't be in there, pollutants and harmful chemicals, bind to them and flush them out. Okay, so water is, if you think about it, in your body, almost acts as like a river that transports waste out of your body. We are also made up over 70% water, so it is absolutely crucial the type of water that you put into your body, which we will get into shortly. Another very unique element of water is it has a high heat capacity. Okay, so it takes a lot of heat to warm water. So I used to live in Alberta, and those lakes from the glacier water, they're freaking cold. And even in the middle of the hottest day of the year in Alberta, which would probably be sometime in August or July, it is still freezing. The water is so cold. It takes a lot of heat to actually really alter the temperature of water. And this helps retain heat without massive temperature fluctuations. So this actually helps regulate your body's temperature and just keeps the climate relatively stable on a global scale. So this is another property of water that makes it so incredibly unique and makes it able to maintain life on Earth. If it was made any other way, none of these processes that we know in everyday life that maintain life as we know it could not exist. Water also has adhesion and cohesion. So if you think of adhesive tape, that means it is able to stick and attract to another substance and stick together. So because water has the properties that it has, it's actually able to travel up a plant. When you water a plant at the bottom, it's still able to travel up through the capillaries, through the stems, and water the entire plant because of its adhesive properties and ability to attract to many other molecules in the earth. It is also cohesive. Cohesive means they stick together very well because of the way water is structured. So the negative side of water is attracted to the positive side in another H2O molecule and so on. And it just keeps making more and more molecules. And this is where you end up getting massive bodies of water that make up most of the earth. Okay. So cohesion actually also explains how water blobs stick together. You ever see like a raindrop kind of dripping down? It doesn't really lose its composition. It stays like in that raindrop format because it's so cohesive. Okay. And then it also explains why a bug, for example, is able to float on water. It appears as though they're floating on water, but it's actually the very cohesive properties of water that are so stuck together that bug doesn't just fall right through the water. Okay, obviously it's not so strong that we're not going to fall through the water because we're very heavy, but these are just the very unique properties of water that set it apart from any other molecule on Earth. So now let's get into part two. So now that we understand water's incredible properties, let's shift gears. Not all water is created equal, and the type of water you drink matters a lot more than you think. In this next segment, we'll talk about the different types of drinking water and their impact on your health. Okay, so first up, tap water. This is the water that I would say most people have access to freely. And for that reason, many people are still drinking it because it's free. It's coming from their tap. It's free flowing. It's convenient. And I mean, I don't really honestly know too many people who are still drinking tap water. But if you are, you need to get off of that. Okay. So this is the most common source of drinking water. But let's be honest, it's also the most questionable. While municipal systems are designed to treat water for relative safety, tap water often contains harmful contaminants like chlorine, heavy metals, and even pharmaceutical residues. It's disgusting. Not to mention the pipes that the water travels through are so filthy that the water is picking up that filth and ultimately delivering that to your throat. We don't want that. So not to mention aging infrastructure in many places increases the risk of lead exposure. So lead in the pipes that age over time makes lead appear more often in water. Okay? So there's thousands of studies on the contaminants such as PFAS, which are considered the forever chemical. PFAS are a group of synthetic chemicals used in a wide variety of common applications, from the lining of fast food containers, nonstick cookware, to firefighting foams and other purposes. So according to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, PFAS may lead to adverse health risks in people. So the research is still ongoing and it's still relatively new. But what we do know is that PFAS break down very, very slowly in your body. So it's a very slow breakdown, and they're known as forever chemicals because of this. You don't know how long it'll take to break down and get the hell out of your body. That could take forever to get out. So that's why they call them forever chemicals, because they could be freaking in there forever for all we know. The research is still new, but what we do know about the research is that it's dangerous, it can disrupt your hormones, and it is absolutely crucial that you stay away from these, okay? So I've recently switched to glassware. I don't use Tupperware. I never cook with Teflon pans anymore. And tap water. Those are all three things that I've completely eliminated from my life, and I will never go back. Okay, so that's enough on tap water. Now let's go to the next most popular type of water that people tend to drink that they might think is a little bit safer, and that is bottled water. On the surface, it seems like a better choice, right? But here's the kicker. Most bottled water is literally just glorified tap water. Plus, the plastic bottles themselves are a huge issue. Like you guys know, with environmental concerns, they are all ending up in the ocean. And as I noted before, we cannot have life on Earth without the ocean. So it's crucial that the ocean is taken care of. So if you ever see someone give you a dirty look because they see your water bottle, that's probably why. Okay, and I've been given dirty looks before I figured all this out, and I was still on the water bottle train because it was just kind of the next step from, okay, no tap water. I've been off tap water for over 10 years now, and I thought water bottles were the next best thing, and they're absolutely not. So studies are showing that microplastics, so tiny particles that leach into the water from the plastic, can disrupt your hormones, which will potentially lead to long-term health issues as hormones regulate many functions in your body. The water bottles that you see on the shelf at Costco or whatever grocery store you shop at, they've actually taken months to get to those shelves, sometimes even upward to a year. And they're sitting in these warehouses that are hot. And even if it's not hot, the plastic will break down. This is why when you look at the bottom of your water bottle, you'll see a little one with a recycle arrow around the one, indicating that you should only drink out of that one time, because the plastics do break down and then they enter your body when you drink it. And obviously there's no use for plastic in your body. So your body will get rid of what it can get rid of, and then it will become one with the crap that it can't actually eliminate via your feces. So water bottles are very, very not safe. And a lot of times it's just bottled tap water. Companies do many things to cheat, to make more profit, and to be able to sell more at a lower price. And filling it with tap water is 100% something a company might do to make more money. Like, you can't put it past people to put themselves before other people. Like, have you met people? Of course they would. And how are you going to find out, you know? And most people won't even go and research that, you know? So of course they're going to take advantage of that. So some pros of bottled water. Yeah, I'm sure it's convenient. It might have a consistent taste or quality that you're used to, or maybe for an emergency use, or that it's very widely available, all kind of within the umbrella of convenience. But the cons are all the environmental impacts, the plastic waste, your carbon footprint. I mean, it costs a lot of money. If you think about how much money you spend on water and add that up over a year and then 2 years and 10 years, you'll see that you're spending quite a lot of money on it. Okay, the potential for microplastic contamination, resource depletion, so the extraction of water for bottling can deplete local water supplies. impacting communities and ecosystems, and just misleading marketing. There's a lot of water that says alkaline water. No, all they literally did was add baking soda in it because baking soda is alkaline. So that makes the pH more alkaline because you put baking soda in it, not because you alkalized it through some electrolysis that we'll get into later when I talk about my favorite kind of water. So the health concerns, it's chemical leaching. Plastics used in bottles may leach chemicals like BPA or phthalates into the water, especially when exposed to heat. So if you're bringing water bottles to the beach, you best believe that even just an hour sitting in the hot sun baking, that there's going to be leached microplastics in that water bottle, 100% for sure. And just the lack of regulation. So bottled water is not always subject to the same like rigorous safety standards as other kinds of water supply systems. So you just can't really ever be sure. So the takeaway is like, well, bottled water is convenient and useful in emergencies. Its environmental and financial costs actually make it way less ideal for regular use over a longer period of time. So that's science's take on water bottles. Let's move on to the next very, very popular type of water that many people are beginning to put in their homes, and that is reverse osmosis. Although it is incredibly pure, the process of reverse osmosis actually strips the water of essential minerals like magnesium and calcium. It's clean, but it's not necessarily healthy because, again, you're stripping those minerals. So there's nothing bad in it, but there's also like nothing good in it either. So you're kind of just drinking neutral water. Still, way better than bottled water and way better than tap water. So the order that I'm reading these water types of water is actually an order from worst to best, okay? So reverse osmosis is a water purification technology that uses a semi-permeable membrane to remove impurities, contaminants, and dissolved liquids from water. So what is a permeable membrane? So a sponge is permeable. It allows water in it and it soaks in the water. That's a fancy word for, you know, being able to soak something in and really absorb it, okay? Semi-permeable, what does semi mean? It means half, okay? So half permeable. So it's taking some things out, not everything, some things. So semi-permeable membrane means it's partly absorbable, okay? And then non-permeable means nothing's getting through. So metal, nothing's going through metal, especially not water. And here's a breakdown of the science and benefits of reverse osmosis, okay? So the word osmosis is the natural process where water moves from an area of low solute concentration to high solute concentration through a semi-permeable membrane. Whereas reverse osmosis reverses this process. It applies pressure to force water from a high solute concentration area through the membrane, and it leaves the impurities behind. So the semi-permeable membrane in a reverse osmosis machine has microscopic pores that allow water molecules to pass, but blocks larger contaminants like salts, bacteria, and viruses. So this is where you get the term semi-permeable. It allows water through, but it's not going to allow the contaminants through. Okay? So there's different stages of the filtration. So a typical RO system has multiple stages. There's the pre-filtration, which removes the large particles like sediment and chlorine, and then the RO membrane. So that filters out dissolved salts, metals, and other impurities. That's the next step. And then there's the post-filtration part of the reverse osmosis, which polishes the water, often uses using activated carbon to improve the taste and just remove any like remaining odors. So the rejection rate, so reverse osmosis systems typically remove 95 to 99% of dissolved salts and contaminants, including heavy metals like lead and arsenic, nitrates, and certain microorganisms. So it's pretty good at getting rid of all of the bad stuff. But again, there's nothing good in it either. Now let's get into distilled water. So you might have bought a bottle of distilled water at the grocery store one time. And what distilled water does is it uses a process of heat. It heats up the water so that it evaporates and turns into steam. And then it takes that steam, which has become pure now, and it changes that into, and it uses that to make the water. So what is the difference really between that and reverse osmosis? Well, the process of distilled water uses boiling and condensation, aka steam, and then reverse osmosis uses filtration through a semi-permeable membrane. Distilled water actually removes 100% of all contaminants. So if you have crappy water and you boil it, you've actually boiled everything out. Then it's going to be super hot, so just put it in the fridge after. But this is actually a great way to drink, guarantee that you have, you know, decently good drinking water if you can't afford a reverse osmosis system or something of the like. Okay, so boil your water, it kills everything, stick in the fridge to make it cold, drink it later. You can do a whole huge kettle. That's like a little life hack, I would say. Okay, so the taste of distilled, it's bland or flat, and then reverse osmosis could actually taste better if it's remineralized, which you actually can remineralize it after. But again, that's even more cost on top of your reverse osmosis. And reverse osmosis is like 10 grand to stick that in your house if you want to get the whole system in your house or right around there. So distilled water is ideal for medical or industrial use requiring ultra pure water, like humidifiers and or emergency use or areas with heavily contaminated water sources. So that's when distilled water might be your better option, whereas reverse osmosis is better for your daily drinking water, especially if it's become remineralized after. So I do know someone who has told me that they purchased a reverse osmosis. They paid $10,000 for this, and then they still have to pay for the minerals to remineralize it after because the reverse osmosis has stripped all the minerals out. So they just paid 10 grand. You'd think you'd have it all, but no, you still don't get those minerals without additional costs. So complete BS in my opinion. 10 grand, that's a lot of money. Come on. So in summary, both distilled and reverse osmosis water is highly purified, but RO, reverse osmosis, water is often more practical for everyday use and due to its efficiency and the option to remineralize for taste and health benefits. Distilled water, while extremely pure, is less energy efficient and it lacks flexibility in its mineral profile. So again, there's nothing bad in distilled water, but there's also nothing good in distilled water. Reverse osmosis, nothing bad, but nothing good unless you add the minerals after at a higher cost. I didn't mention this. I didn't have like, I wasn't going to talk much about a Brita water filter, but those are pretty garbage too. They don't take away much. So if you get a Brita, you're still drinking a ton of toxic crap. So although still, I would say very slightly better than tap water, it's not much better than tap water. And then this leaves us to the game-changing water. The water that's personally changed the health of my family is hydrogen water. Okay, so hydrogen water is enriched with molecular hydrogen. So as stated in previous week's episode, hydrogen is the most simple, tiniest element in the world, in the universe, and it is the most powerful antioxidant on Earth. So what is an antioxidant? So it combats oxidative stress. When your cells start to become sick and wear down and they start to become oxidized. So if you can think of an apple, you cut it open, you leave it on the counter, it becomes brown after a few days. That's oxidation. That's what happens to your cells over time. They become healthy. And hydrogen is an antioxidant. So it combats this, as well as obviously antioxidizing foods and stuff like that. So anything that's antioxidant ultimately means it's combating oxidative stress and it's very freaking good for you. Okay. So this means it can neutralize free radicals in your body, which reduces oxidative stress, which is a major, I would say the number one contributor to aging is oxidative stress and chronic disease. So in any, if not all studies out there where people had, disease, any type of disease, whether it be cancer or Parkinson's, all was derivative of inflammation, and that inflammation is derivative of oxidation in the body, too much oxidation, okay, with not enough antioxidation. So if you're drinking this water all day, every day, you better believe your health is going to shift. So there are over 1,400 peer-reviewed studies backing its health benefits to this day, and still many more to come. It's a relatively new phenomenon. And yeah, these studies highlight its role in improving energy, reducing inflammation, and even supporting cognitive function. This is one of the biggest improvements that I've personally noticed since drinking hydrogen water for the past about almost 6 months now. So when you feel like you want to fall asleep at work, you know that feeling where you're like, and you could literally just fall asleep. I don't get that anymore. And it's insane because I work with kids, so kids are tiring. And I don't feel that anymore. So my energy levels has completely changed. And I mean, it makes so much sense. If you're constantly battling oxidative stress in your body by drinking highly antioxidant-filled hydrogen water, you're going to have more energy. The cells are the building blocks of life. So if your cells are healthy, they're going to function better, and then you're going to function better, which ultimately means you're going to have more energy. Okay, so what sets hydrogen water apart is its ability to address both hydration and cellular health, okay? So like I said, hydrogen is the smallest, tiniest chemical in the universe. So because it's so small, when you drink hydrogen water, it's actually able to cross the blood-brain barrier and really hydrate you because the molecules are so tiny that it can fit through your barrier. So that's another thing I've noticed. I used to be able to drink an entire water bottle, and for some reason, my thirst just would never really be quenched. I can drink a big glass of hydrogen water, and I feel so quenched for like so much longer than when I drink crappy water. So hydrogen water machines, also known as hydrogen water generators or water ionizers, work by a process that actually infuses the water with molecular hydrogen through a process of electrolysis, which mimics water found in the blue zones where people live the longest. Their drinking water is rich with hydrogen that you don't really see that occurs in many places in the world naturally. So scientists have taken that water, used it, and replicated it in the form of these water ionizing machines that replicate that. The main mechanism behind hydrogen water machines is electrolysis, as I said. So a method that uses electricity to break down water into its constituent elements, so hydrogen and oxygen. It breaks it down. Instead of being H2O, it splits it apart and turns it into H2 and then O in the water, which makes it hydrogen rich. Okay, so the electrolysis chamber, the machine contains an electrolysis chamber with electrodes that are usually platinum coated or titanium electrodes. When an electrical current is passed through the water, which happens when you turn it on, it separates the water molecules into hydrogen and oxygen. So the hydrogen gas, the H2, is produced at the cathode, which is the negative part, and then the oxygen is produced at the anode, the positive electrode, and you are getting the hydrogen-rich part of the water. So it's really amazing. It's really, really awesome. And if you get a really high quality water ionizer, it could last you, 40 years if you take care of it. So it's an investment and they usually cost a few thousand dollars. But to me, I mean, I don't put a price on my health. That's my water. I don't want to mess with my water. And we are made of over 70% water. So for me, if I was going to get an water ionizer, I was going to get the best. So I personally have a Kangen machine. Why Kangen machines are known to be a little bit pricier. And the reason for that is because they are actually dipped. So the electrodes, the plates that conduct the electrolysis are coated with what's called titanium platinum. They're coated with titanium platinum. So this is there, it's triple dipped. So over time in a lower quality hydrogen machine, the platinum will start to wither away and break down into the water. And then ultimately you'll be drinking that. With the Kangen machine, it's triple dipped in a titanium platinum, so it will not break down over years and years of use. And as long as you give it a clean once a month, you can actually maintain this machine for upward of 40 years. So it's pretty freaking crazy. Great investment. And I mean, this machine's also replaced every household chemical in my home. I don't buy toner anymore. I don't buy laundry detergent anymore. I don't buy any type of counter cleaner, nothing. And it's all safe. So it goes all the way from a 2.5 on the pH scale, all the way up to an 11.5, which is really, really alkaline water, which you can use for laundry detergent. And you can use a 2.5 for like disinfecting cuts, bruises, cleaning. And then the 6.0 is called the beauty water. So that's what I use for facial toner now. And it makes your face that perfect pH balance to really absorb whatever skincare that you're using. Okay, so the hydrogen gas produced during electrolysis is dissolved into the water. It increases its molecular hydrogen content. The machine is designed to infuse the water with a high concentration of hydrogen molecules, which are dissolved in the water for easier absorption by the body. So molecular hydrogen is the most bioavailable form of hydrogen, meaning it can easily be absorbed into the body and provide antioxidant benefits. As stated before, it is a tiny molecule, the tiniest, and it can really pass through barriers in our body, our blood, and our skin to get us the best hydration that you could ever, ever have with this type of water. They also have a filtration system inside. So it goes through the filter first, and then it goes through electrolysis process, and voila, you have hydrogen rich water all day, every day for the next 40 years of your life. Okay, so with that being said, I hope you have a better clarity on the different types of water. I know there's a lot of information out there, and I myself was very confused. What do I get? Do I get reverse osmosis? Do I just keep buying bottled water? Like, I've been through every stage of what is better. And I could honestly say I started from tap. I went to bottled. I went to distilled. Then I went to hydrogen water. I never experienced reverse osmosis, but I'm a hydrogen water girl. And just the amount of studies that are out there that are stating its effectiveness in healing so many different things. If you guys can look up on Google Scholar, there are countless studies on there showing how it has helped people combat cancer. So hydrogen water has antioxidant properties, it reduces inflammation, it protects your cells, and has anti-cancer effects. So there's many studies that have shown that hydrogen water may have direct protective effects on cells. And what is cancer? Cancer is an abnormal growth of unhealthy cells. It can enhance the body's natural detoxification processes and protect the healthy cells from oxidative damage, potentially preventing the spread of cancerous cells. There are studies out there that show that cancer has been alleviated or completely eradicated through the use of hydrogen water ionizers. Oh, here's a study right here. Hydrogen-rich water exerts anti-tumor effects comparable to 5-fluorosil in a colorectal cancer model, hydrogen gas in a cancer treatment, hydrogen water ameliorates radiation-induced gastrointestinal toxicity. And there's so, I'm looking right here on Google Scholar right now, there are so many studies that show how it has these antioxidant effects that have helped combat cancer. So if I were someone who was diagnosed with cancer, which I hate to say, but there are so many people I know in my life who have died of cancer and continue to be diagnosed with cancer, both young and old and middle-aged. And the first thing I would do is a water fast, but that's a whole other episode in itself. And the second thing I would do is switch your water to hydrogen-rich water. Yes, it's an investment, but it's a good one. And I can promise you, you will feel so much better within the first just 2 weeks of owning it. You'll notice your energy levels change. So I know times are tough and where we live right now, groceries are expensive, gas is expensive, rent's expensive, houses are expensive. But the amount of longevity that would add to you, we're talking like, This thing could add 10 years to your life, 20 years to your life if you get it. So that to me, I can't even put a price on that. And you can also finance them. So to me, that's worth it. So what is the takeaway here? Well, it's that not all water is created equal. Tap and bottled water come with their own set of risks, while reverse osmosis and distilled water may lack essential nutrients. But hydrogen water, it's the ultimate upgrade. Backed by science, this type of water has the potential to transform your health in ways that you never even thought possible. Thank you for tuning in to The Upgrade Effect. If you found this episode helpful, share it with a friend who's ready to elevate their health. And as always, I'd love to hear your thoughts. What type of water do you drink? And are you ready to make the switch to hydrogen water? Let me know in the comments. Please don't forget to give a like and a subscribe and help us spread wellness. Until next time, guys, keep upgrading your life, stay hydrated, stay healthy, and I'll catch you in the next episode.